One of the things I love most about the church is that it is, by God's design, a family. The church is, by God's design, a family. We are the people of God, and we belong to God, and by virtue of belonging to Him, we belong to one another, to His people. The church is worldwide in its scope, church with a capital C. So we are part of a worldwide family. We have family, you and I, that we've never laid eyes on. We have brothers and sisters on the other side of the planet. Not biologically speaking, maybe, but spiritual family. And our connection to our spiritual family is deeper and stronger than anything else. Deeper and stronger than we might realize. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he instructed this young minister in a number of ways. And he says in 1 Timothy 5, he says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." When Timothy spoke to older men and women in the church, he was to do so with the respect they were due, even with the affection that he might have for his own parents. And when Timothy related to younger men, he was to relate to them as brothers. When he related to younger women, he was to relate to them as sisters. And he was to guard their purity as a brother would his sister. Churches are indeed a family, a faith family, and members should relate to one another as such. Within the life of the church, there's a clear sense that we are family. We relate to one another as a family would and should. We are part of God's family because of our mutual belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And we rightly sing at the end of most of our church services, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the
family of God."
Very good. You got it. We are family. We're meant to relate to one another as family. On days like today, it's a good reminder that we are meant to relate to one another as family, not because we are all related, though most of us here are actually family. I think there's two of us that aren't related to someone else. We relate to one another as a faith family, a spiritual family. The family bond we have because of our common faith in Jesus Christ makes us closer than actual family. This is true. Blood is thicker than water, it's been said. But the blood of Jesus Christ that unites us is thicker still.
Amen.
This is something that Paul understood. He urged Timothy, whom he called a son in the faith. Timothy wasn't Paul's son, biologically speaking, but he called him a son in the faith. And he urged Timothy to relate to those in his church as family. Older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger men and women, boys and girls, as brothers and sisters. We aren't given any details about Paul's actual family. But we're pretty sure that Paul never married, based on what he said in 1 Corinthians. We know nothing about his immediate family, whether or not his parents were still living at the time he was writing these letters, or if Paul had any siblings, biologically speaking. But what Paul wants us to understand is this. There is something deeper and stronger and more lasting than our biological families. At the end of the letter, Paul writes to the church in Rome, he concludes with some personal greetings. In what seems to be just a list of names, Paul is actually teaching us an important principle. He teaches us that the people who share our faith, the people who share our faith are closer than our family. The people who share our faith are closer than family. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Romans chapter 16. And if you're able and willing, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We're going to start in verse 1, and by the grace of God, I might just pronounce some of these names correctly. So bear with me. Romans 16, verse 1. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at her house. Greet my dear friend Epinetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologos, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. I probably spent 3 hours this week just trying to learn those names. So if I messed it up, just don't tell me. Yeah, say good job. Paul takes some valuable time, some valuable space in his letter, some costly real estate, to make these personal greetings. Why? Of what value is any of this to us? These verses make clear the single most important people in Paul's life, the closest relationships that Paul had, were with the people in the church. His co-workers in Christ Jesus, his dear friends in the Lord, those men and women who have worked hard for the Lord, his spiritual brothers and sisters. We don't know if Paul had any family. We don't know that. But because of Jesus, we know that Paul had family. You follow? Brothers and sisters in Christ, spiritual parents in the household of God, all belonging to their Heavenly Father. The people who share our faith in Jesus are closer than family. In fact, the people who share our faith in Jesus are our true and eternal family. So on Mother's Day, on this day, let me speak to all the women gathered here this morning. Do you notice Paul's greeting in verse 13? Do you see it? It's tucked away there, but it's there, and it's there for a reason. There are no throwaway verses in the Bible. They're all significant, and I believe this is significant for us on Mother's Day. Look at verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. I love this verse. It does my heart good to read this verse. Let me explain why. All of my life, I have been blessed to have several mothers. I've been blessed to have a whole mess of mothers. Now, there is absolutely no deficiency in my own mom that would cause me need of several mothers. My mom is the mom of all moms. The Lord has blessed me beyond measure by giving me the mother that he did. She's kind and she's loving. She's firm. She's present. She's prayerful. She's funny. It's true. She's constant. She's steady. She is faithful in being mom. Never once have I doubted her love or her care or concern for me. I can't think of a single time that mom has let me down. If there's an award for being mom, it goes to Jan Case. But she'd probably share with the rest of you, because she's also kind and loving. So, but in addition to my award-winning mom, I've been blessed to have several mothers. I've been blessed all my life with several moms. I think of Lorraine. She was my first real babysitter, long-term babysitter. She watched my sister and I. And even still, to this day, 20 years after she took care of us, she still comes up to us, she greets us, she gives us a big hug, and then, ever the babysitter, she asks how we're doing. She checks up on us, makes sure we're behaving ourselves, how many timeouts we've had each. My sister always had more timeouts than I did, so Lorraine is more concerned with my sister than she is me, but she's a mom. to this day, years later, decades later. I think of Melinda, who was a teacher of my mom's, teacher with my mom, and a great friend of my parents. I called Melinda, because of my speech impediment, Mama Lala. Mama Lala. I really was the cutest kid. I'm not sure why they're laughing. Melinda, or Mama Lala, as I called her, was just part of our little family. She went on vacations with us from time to time. She loved us. Mama Lala couldn't say no to me because as a kid, and even still, my eyelashes are pretty long, and all I would have to do is look at her and blink my eyes, you know, look sad, and she just gave me whatever I wanted. She spoiled me to no end. I had her wrapped around my little finger. Even to this day, Mama Lala is Mama Lala. She's a mom. Sharon Schmidt is the mother of my two friends, Allie and Taylor. She's been a mom to me. Sharon is the single sweetest lady I've ever met. She's just so soft-spoken and gentle and kind. I cannot tell you the number of times that Sharon picked me up and gave me a ride home from school or from youth group or from church, the number of meals that she fed us, the number of times that we were able to twist her arm and she'd buy us a drink at the soda fountain. Sharon's a mom to me. My mom's very best friend, Jean, is most assuredly mom to me. In my phone, her number is actually saved there as J-mom. It's Jean Mom. She's a mom. She started out as my preschool teacher, but now there's no getting around the fact that Jean is mom. She's more family than friend. You know the kind. She's the call me or stop by anytime kind of friend, kind of family. I absolutely love Jean. Jean absolutely loves and looks out for Megan and for me. And whenever we're home in Greensburg, we bribe her just a little bit with some cinnamon rolls, which is probably the reason she's in it for the cinnamon rolls more than anything. But she's a mom to me. And she'll continue to be a mom. Each of these women, Lorraine and Sharon and Melinda and Jean, all have children of their own. And yet I can say, along with Paul, that there are women who have, because of their influence and their presence and their love directed toward me, been mom to me. It's just as Paul said, greet Rufus and his mother, who's been a mother to me also. I really don't have to look any further than this room to find women who have been mothers to Megan and to me. Mothers who open their homes and mothers who give advice, mothers who share meals and hugs, mothers who are just a little bit bossy. Carla. Sorry, Carla. But it's a bossy that I need. And so she's mom. Mothers who take care of us, who check in with us when we're sick, or just call because they're worried they don't see our car in our driveway, and they're concerned. They're mothers. Mothers who drop off homemade dinner rolls and homemade pies, homemade beef stew, potato soup. The extra 20 pounds I carry around is all your fault. I'm looking right at all of you. Mothers who have taught Megan how to can, Joanne, and to sew, to bake pies. Mothers who love and pray for us, who support us, who are friends to us, who care for us and teach us. It's just as Paul said, greet Rufus and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. Paul takes a moment in the middle of his letter to the church at Rome and greets a bunch of people, and right in the middle of these greetings, he singles out the mother of his friend. Paul appreciates the influence and the presence of this unnamed woman in his life, and he says, "Greet Rufus and his mother, who's been a mother to me also." More literally, Paul says this, "Greet Rufus, and also greet his mother and mine." If you have a New American Standard Version or a Revised Standard Version of the Bible, you will read, "Greet Rufus and his mother and mine." Paul just claims this woman in the church as his own mother. Paul singles out the mother of his friend and claims her as his own, his mother and mine. I like that very much. His mother by nature and mine by maternal kindness. Matthew Henry says this, "This good woman, upon some occasion or another, has been as a mother to Paul, in caring for him and comforting him, and Paul here gratefully owns it and simply calls her mother." I love this verse. It does my heart good. I don't think my parents instructed me to call Melinda Mama Lala or to react to Jean as a mom. It just happened. And it happens. It's not forced, it's just natural, especially within the family of God, within the church. Now, I don't think Rufus's mother was a mother to Paul in just the simple motherly sense, though that'd be fine. Being motherly is great, but Paul is speaking here in the book of Romans in the context of the church. Those who are part of the people of God, those who have given themselves in the service of Jesus. I think Paul is thankful for Rufus's mother because she was a mother to him in the most significant way. She was a mother in the faith. It would be odd here, I think, for Paul to mention the mother of Rufus in some other vein than all the others in the list. The people Paul mentions here in Romans 16 belong to God in Christ Jesus, and they have made an impact on the church by their faithful service. And this is no less true for Rufus's mom. I really doubt that Paul mentions Rufus's mom because she makes the best chocolate pie or the best beef stew, though maybe she did. I believe Paul mentions Rufus's mom as a mom to him because she taught him about Jesus. Led him to Jesus by example, served him and ministered to him in Jesus' name. Rufus's mom, if we look at this in context of what Paul is saying, had some impact on Paul in the realm of the church, in the area of faith in Jesus, by means of the gospel of Christ. "Greet Rufus," Paul writes, "and his mother, who's been a mother to me also." Mothers and grandmothers, you have, no doubt, incredible things to offer your kids. Incredible things to offer those connected to your family, those who aren't really your kids or your grandkids, but who would consider themselves as. You have incredible things to offer, but for those of you who belong to Jesus, Christian mothers and Christian grandmothers, you have something to offer your kids and your grandkids, both biological and spiritual, that they might not get from anyone else. Do you hear me? You have something to offer that they might not get from anyone else. You have the word of life. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. You, as a woman in the family of God, notice I didn't say mother, you as a woman in the family of God can, as a spiritual mother, give to your children that which is most valuable. Take, for instance, Timothy's mother and grandmother. I've brought them up before and I'll bring them up again because they're such a good example of what it means to be a mother, to be a grandmother. This mother and this grandmother had an impact on this child, Timothy, that's unmissable. 2 Timothy 1, Paul writes this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, which I am now convinced lives in you also." And then Paul continues to write, he says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, from your mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, because your mother taught them to you." Isn't that a remarkable testimony? Because of these two women, in Timothy's life, the heritage Timothy has because of his mother and grandmother can't be missed. They filled him with the scriptures, and the scriptures brought him to faith. And faith in Christ brought him to salvation, everlasting life. Listen to what John Piper says. He says, Timothy will live forever and ever because his mother and grandmother were faithful to teach him about Jesus. Think about it. Timothy will live forever and ever because his mother and grandmother were faithful to teach him about Jesus. Christian mothers and grandmothers, you have something to offer your kids and grandkids, both biological and spiritual, that no one else might be able to offer. You have the word of life. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. You, all of you women, as women in the family of God, can, as a mother, give to your children, both biological and spiritual, that which is of the utmost importance. You have the great task and the immense pleasure of sharing with your children and all the children in your life about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of you probably can't count the number of children that you've impacted. I look around and I see teachers in the school and Sunday school teachers who have ministered to any number of kids. You have no idea how many kids you've impacted because you've shared that which is of the most importance. And for some of you, you'll never know the number of children that you've touched. Children who just might consider you a mother in the faith. So on this Mother's Day, let me offer a word of advice and a word of thanks. Can I do those two things? Word of advice. Don't settle for giving your kids something any mother or grandmother could give them. Just don't settle for giving your kids, biologically or spiritually or otherwise, something that anyone else could give them. Give your children what only a follower of Jesus can give them. Give your children something only a Christian mother or grandmother can give. Show them and lead them and point them to Jesus Christ. Read to them from the Bible. There's a lot of good books, a lot of bedtime stories, but there's no book better than this. And there's no book that contains the words of life other than this. Read to them from the Bible. Pray with them. Encourage them to love the Lord. Live your life in such a way that your kids see how much you love Jesus. That kids around town, kids that aren't your kids, see how much you love Jesus and praise your Father up in heaven. You have the Word of God by the Spirit of God, by the grace and the life of the Son of God. So for God's sake, as a mother, pass on to your children that which is of first importance, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's my little piece of Mother's Day advice. Now let me say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. For all that you, as a woman, in the family of God, do. That goes unappreciated or underappreciated. Thank you. I don't know where I would be without my many mothers. But I can almost guarantee I wouldn't be anywhere good. May the Lord bless each of you mothers for your impact and your ministry and your service to the Lord. And service to the Lord has so many benefits, eternal and lasting benefits for all of us kids. We give thanks to you and for you on this day, and we praise the one who gives us many moms. Praise the one who has placed us in his family by and through his Son, Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we We are so thankful for your design, that you don't just save us and redeem us and rescue us and then leave us alone, but you place us in families. And you give us spiritual fathers and brothers and sisters. And you give us moms, mothers in the faith, women who, no matter their station in life, teach us about Jesus and become mothers to us. How thankful we are, how blessed we are. And may we treat all those around us who have taught us about Jesus, women who have instructed us and led us and shown us the grace of Christ. May we thank them this day for being our mother. Father, I pray for all those here today for whom Mother's Day is difficult, for the loss and the heartache that it can bring. But oh, how much we thank you for giving us mom. And we praise the one who saw fit to do just that. We give you all the praise and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.